To celebrate the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote, South Carolina Public Radio and South Carolina ETV are broadcasting this series, Sisterhood, South Carolina Suffragist, a look at how local women played a role in a national movement that eventually guaranteed more than 26 million women the right to vote. I'm Felicia Eady. In downtown Columbia, at the corner of Senate and Sumter Streets, you can find a cross-section of state history and political power. There's the east side of the Statehouse grounds. When you cross Sumter, the historic Trinity Episcopal Church sits on the left side of Senate Street, and the South Carolina Human Affairs Commission on the right. But 100 years ago, this intersection looked considerably different.
The Statehouse grounds didn't extend past Senate Street back then, right? They were half the size they are today. So walking past them and then turning down an avenue that's lined with trees and fancy homes. And back then, that was very much Senate Street.
Catherine Allen is Director of Research at Historic Columbia. She says a lot of time was spent trying to find the location of what's commonly referred to as the Rollins Salon, a place of interracial gatherings focused on advancing social causes, including women's rights.
The one that we think is likely actually what was known as the Rollins Salon is a house that was located on the southeast corner of Sumter and Senate Street. So this is right across the street from the State House.
It's the location of the brown brick building of the Human Affairs Commission. Today, that state agency works to eliminate and prevent unlawful discrimination. But if Allen and her team are correct, it was once the place where state leaders, employees, and residents of influence met to discuss government policy and also how they could eliminate discrimination against women, in particular, helping to secure their right to vote. And behind this Reconstruction-era meeting place of the minds were five sisters.
So the Rollins sisters were born free people of color in Charleston. They were born between 1845 and about 1855.
Frances, Catherine, Charlotte, Louisa, and Florence are considered some of the state's earliest suffragists. They were born into wealth and property, attended private Catholic schools in Charleston, and the three oldest were sent to the Institute for Colored Youth in Philadelphia for secondary education. Frances married William J. Whipper, an influential black legislator and later a judge. By 1869, Catherine and Charlotte were both employed as clerks at the State House. The women were in the center of South Carolina politics, and what they created inside the house on the corner of Sumter and Senate Streets would not only impact Reconstruction in the state, but also lay some of the bricks to the road leading to the passage of the 19th Amendment.
The salon is important because when you think of the political landscape prior to Reconstruction, if you had a group of people talking about politics, it would have been white males.
Dr. Valinda Littlefield is Associate Professor of History and Director of Community Engagement and Service Learning at the University of South Carolina. She's also co-editor of the book South Carolina Women, Their Lives and Times.
White females would not have been allowed to be at a place like this. Blacks, of course, would not have been allowed unless they were serving.
She refers to the Rollins Salon as a very inclusive space.
When you think of the salon, you are looking at black, white, male, female. You're looking at women who can argue and discuss politics and issues alongside males, black women, white women. You're looking at the governor, Governor Scott, and his wife attending the salon. You're looking at the lieutenant governor at the time, who was black, Ranzier, and his wife. You're looking at Whipper. You're looking at anyone who would have been anyone in politics in South Carolina.
This salon, this house at the corner of Sumter and Senate, served as the backdrop for the Rollins sisters to eliminate gender discrimination and influence South Carolina and national history. Through meetings there emerged the South Carolina branch of one of the leading voting rights organizations in the country. Also emerging, Charlotte Rollin, to the national stage. Again, here's Catherine Allen.
The anti-slavery standard which still is being published until 1870, says this about Charlotte Rollin. Miss Rollin, an educated and talented young colored woman of South Carolina, we are glad to learn, has been appointed by Governor Scott, chief clerk in the general's office. A correspondent writing from Columbia SC says this. So this is someone from Columbia writing about who Charlotte Rollin is. Miss Rollin is a young lady of color, highly educated and accomplished. These advantages were acquired North. She is quite an eloquent advocate for impartial suffrage. She delivered an address in the House of Representatives before the Judiciary Committee of the state, demanding suffrage for her sex. She might well be termed the Black Anna Dickinson. And of course, Anna Dickinson is a major member of both abolition and later women's rights. And so that's happening in 1869. We really start hearing about the Rollin sisters and their work with women's suffrage in late 1870 and early 1871. And in January 1871, they form the first suffrage group in South Carolina. And it's called the South Carolina Woman Suffrage Association.
She would later represent the state at the National Convention of the American Woman Suffrage Association. For South Carolina ETV and South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eadie.